This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. A good Sunday morning, Arnie.
Good Sunday morning in the heat of sports season. And what better guest to have than one of our own family members?
Right.
Who do we got today?
Ace Arrowine, the voice of the Grizz. He's the voice of the Grizz. He's the voice of KGRZ, the Daily Drive, and just a good kid.
Good young sports broadcaster, you know, covering the Lady Grizz, covering soccer, doing the sideline for football. Has a relatively new drive time show that we have.
The Daily Drive with Ace Arrowine. He helped me relaunch KGRZ with the university. He was very instrumental in that. And just a good person all around, very hard worker, Artie.
So we're going to put him to the test today. We're going to use our collective sports knowledge to see, you know, really how deep he is.
Absolutely. When we come back, our guest will be Riley Ace Arrowine. His real name is Riley.
So we can't use that because we have a Riley. It'd be too confusing.
Exactly. Ace Arrowine back after these messages. All right, Arnie, we are back with our guest, Ace Arrowine, host of The Daily Drive on KGRZ.
Ace, I'm glad you took a break from The Daily Drive to come over and talk with us.
Taking a break from a lot of stuff, man.
He's the busiest man in showbiz.
He's the busiest man in Montana showbiz. So for our listeners who may not be familiar, because the show's relatively new, tell us a little bit about your background and then all the myriad of things. You're like a juggler. You're juggling so many things. All the myriad of things that you are taking the lead on here in Missoula.
Yeah, so first started when I first got here. It was just Lady Grizz play-by-play.
And how long ago was that?
2 years ago. Okay. 2 years ago, and this will be the third season of Lady Grizz, right. And that just started a couple weeks ago with Gonzaga and Spokane. They've had a couple games since then, but this will be my third season with the Lady Grizz, and the first year, it was just that. I wasn't working anything else. It was literally just the Lady Grizz, and I was scraping by for the first 6 to 7 months I was in Missoula for
eating
sure.
Eating a lot of hamburger helper without the hamburger?
Yes,
100%. It's delicious without the hamburger.
Ramen. You just get a bunch of ramen. And not the good ramen either. I'm saying like cheap Walmart
top
brand.
Ramen. Yeah, 19 cents. Exactly. Yeah, it's great. Yes. Hot water in a bag.
So it started with that, and it grew into sideline and pre and post game on the radio broadcast with football.
Right.
Doing stuff on ESPN Plus with volleyball, soccer, softball, helping out with men's basketball and some neutral games. And then it eventually branches into the radio stations here, and one thing after another. You know, I become brand manager at KISS. I was on News Talk KGVO for a while, hosting Montana Morning part-times, doing, you know, writing for all of our websites. And then it eventually morphs into The Daily Drive, which is a relatively new sports talk show on KGRZ. And that is, you know, it's a Montana Grizzly talk show. We talked with Coach Houck, Athletic Director Ken Haslam, just about anybody in the office, all of the coaches so far, Coach Takir with men's basketball, Holsinger with the Lady Grizz. So it's really a lot of Montana sports, and we branch out for sure. I mean, we do, you know, 5 shows a week, 48 minutes a day, so it can't all be Grizzlies, but we do a lot of college sports talk. You know, we have trivia game shows on there, contestants call in, and people from the university call in. So it's been a lot of fun. We're only 2 months in, I think, at this point, but it's been a good time. And
when does that air?
It's every Monday through Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, KGRZ.
Perfect. So what in your background, before you ended up here, what prepared you for all of this?
That's a great question. What prepared me? Man, it's
That's a two-part question, by the way.
Yeah.
What prepared you, A, to be resilient and to figure out how to cobble stuff together in that work ethic? Because that's something that you haven't answered yet. I know you, but talk about that a little bit. And then what prepared you for the sports side?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have a concrete answer of where the work ethic came from. I really don't. I think it's
tremendous.
Thank you. It's a cliche, but it is just a matter of getting reps, both in, you know, improving your craft, but I also just kind of think with how many, you know, different responsibilities I have, I think it's just getting used to it by doing the jobs and by juggling all these different sports. And I mean, a couple weeks ago, I had the Big Sky Conference tournament in town where I did every single game. There was five games on top of a Lady Grizz basketball game, a football broadcast that week. So I don't know if I have a concrete answer of where I came up with this work ethic. I do think it's just a matter of
Does it feel like work, it. By the way? That's the question. Does it always feel like work? Because you're talking about stuff that you love, right? Because you're a sports person.
It does on weeks like that. Like 2 weeks ago when the Lady Grizz opened up, that felt like a work week because the way it laid out was Monday, you know, and I'm working here at the radio station's a full-time job, eight hours a day. So on top of that, you know, Monday we bust to Spokane. And, you know, I had some fun. I went to Gonzaga Baylor men's basketball. It was a top 10 game that night. A lot of fun. You know, I had a couple of beers, but then I get back to the hotel room and I still have to do some stuff for work, type up an article.
Right.
So, like, week like that, where Monday swamped. Tuesday, we go to shoot around. I'm still doing stuff with Kiss FM and KGRZ and all those. And so I'm doing that Tuesday on top of preparing for the Lady Grizz broadcast that night, do the broadcast, bus back, get home about like Wednesday, 2 a.m. Get up by 4, come in here to get all my stuff done ahead of the Big Sky soccer tournament. Called two games all day Wednesday soccer. By the way, they both went to penalty kicks, so we had two overtime periods followed by penalty kicks, because of course, why wouldn't it? So that was Wednesday. Perfect Thursday, story. You know, we had that live remote broadcast, and then Friday again was Big Sky soccer. Saturday was football. Sunday was Big Sky soccer. That week, as much as I loved every individual part, that felt like work because I don't even know how many hours that was, but it's well over a 40-hour week, and I'm used to that, but that was a little extreme. So that felt like
they're
work.
They're paying you to get to and from places. When you're there, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. You make me tired just listening.
You know.
Well, I want to go to sleep listening to that whole week. I couldn't
Isn't
make
that
it
crazy?
It. So where'd you go to school? What tools did you have before you came here?
So I went to school UW-Whitewater, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, my freshman year, and then it was UW-River Falls my last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I transferred from Whitewater to River Falls is because RF has this radio station that allows students to do any and all games they want.
So you were doing student radio?
Correct. Yep. And I was the sports director of that station, WRFW, way back when. And I did a lot of games in college. And then when I was in college, I had an internship within the Northwoods League, which is a premier wood bat summer league. I mean, a lot of baseball players, Max Scherzer, Curtis Granderson, Jordan Zimmerman, I'm blanking on the Brewer that was there, but a lot of guys that go on to have legit major league careers.
Came up through there.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is it's a very high.
A feeder league. So I'm watching Tom Brady get integrated into the role of being a sports announcer.
Yeah.
And he's having his troubles, right? He's not the GOAT of sports announcers.
100%.
And that's one sport. And he's got like five guys feeding him stuff. You're handling five, six, seven different sports.
Right.
And you're doing most of the play-by-play on the air.
And the prep.
And you have to know who the players are and what positions they're playing. I understand what it's like to call a soccer game. It's like calling a hockey game. It's just all over the place. And how do you organize yourself to do soccer one night, then you got Lady Grizz, they got new players on the team, then you're doing the men's game, and there's a JCO transfer or whatever from Western Washington, 27 points, and there's all of a sudden a star, and you probably have to provide some background on this kid over the air the day after you did the Lady. I mean, how do you do that? You don't have a staff. I know that.
No, it's just me for sure. It's still something I think I'm trying to work on and hone on because, it is tough with all these sports. I try and break it up. And I mean, when I start a week on Sunday, usually Sunday is my day off or at least close to a day off as possible. So Sunday night, I'll try and roadmap the whole week and say, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to be finished with my prep by game day or even the night before? I like to be done. So I'm like, all right, what do I have to do every night? And when I say I'm trying to get better at it, it doesn't work every week because stuff pops up at work or pops up with games or even just in personal life. All of a sudden, you know, I'm hanging out with a couple of friends way too late. It's 9:30. I'm like, I didn't get a single thing done with the Lady Grizz prep. So I'm still trying to work on that. But I do try and map out every day of which team I want to cover. Like for women's basketball, it's, you know, I want to have the Lady Grizz prep done by Monday. I want to have their opponent done by Tuesday so I can start soccer on Wednesday and then football Thursday and Friday after the coaches show. So I mean, I just try and map it out and divide it. I don't ever try and sit down and just work out 8 hours of prep. Right. Just nothing sticks that, up here in my head.
But do you have a photographic memory where if you could look at something? Because I know Riley does.
Do you know how badly I wish I had that? Right. I listen. So Joe Buck, I love Joe Buck, and I will defend that guy until my grave, and I know he gets a lot of flack. He's a great broadcaster.
I like him and Aikman together. They're probably the best duo.
They're great.
I love them. But so he's talked about this before and kind of given me some solace in that he doesn't remember jack squat.
Right.
And the way my memory is, I have a hard time remembering back. Like, you know, Riley will call out a game from like November of 2022 on a football game, and I'm like, I don't remember. I barely remember who we played last week. So I wish I had that memory, but I don't.
I have a memory for statistics. I might forget players, but I can tell you what Mickey Mantle batted in 1956.
Were you a baseball cards guy?
I had
like
baseball.
Studying the back, yeah.
I just ran into somebody, by the way, in Missoula, has 50,000 baseball cards.
Who?
I can't believe that. I can't talk about
50,000?
50,000.
Not our friend Tim.
No.
50,000.
Did you play sports? Did you play high school sports, college sports?
High school, yeah. And it was only baseball. Was never an athletic guy for sure, but right. I always just loved watching
you
sports.
You were a Twins fan growing
no,
up?
No, it's all Wisconsin. So I grew up in River Falls, Wisconsin, right. Close to the Twin Cities, actually, right. Minnesota. Yeah. But everything Wisco. Green Bay, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, yeah.
So that's your.
He was upset when the Brewers were against the Mets.
Yeah, I bet.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
I bet. So, do you have a favorite, or do you have to wipe that off your slate and treat everybody equal? I mean, do you have a favorite sport that you cover? Mm. Do you have a favorite team you like?
It's got to be the Lady Grizz because they're, you know, the way football is Riley's team, air quotes. I mean, because he does play by play. He knows everything. Yeah, Riley Corcoran, the voice of the Grizz. He knows everything about football and men's basketball. Those are his teams. Right. And even though I help out football doing sideline and pre and post game, that's not necessarily my team that I follow. I don't go to every single game. The Lady Grizz, I do. I'm there for all 30 regular season games in Boise for the Big Sky Tournament, right. Postseason last year in Fargo. So it's the Lady Grizz just because it's kind of my team and like my number one responsibility. Well,
The history, obviously, the Lady Grizz, Robin Selvig, you know, the movie, you know, that's now on PBS and all that kind of stuff.
Rob's a great guy, by the way.
We've had him on this show.
Have you?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and the team has an amazing history in terms of its involvement with Native American ball players and all that sort of thing. So give me your quick take on the 2024 Lady Grizz. Ooh. This is your team.
I do want to say, like, the whole history of the Lady Grizz. I mean, I've been to a lot of women's basketball games and just basketball games across the country. You're not going to find many universities that even care remotely about women's basketball. When we go to the rest of the Big Sky Conference, it's
like going to a high school game. There's 800 people there.
I think it's even worse. Like, you go to Ogden, Weber State, they have this big purple palace. And, you know, when Damian Lillard plays for the men back in the day, they can fill it up. For a women's game on a random Thursday afternoon, it's dead in there. Where if you get it here, you're going to have fans every game. So this is a unique program, absolutely. So this year with the Lady Grizz, there's still some question marks. We're a couple weeks in, and when I say question marks, it's the team wasn't healthy in the offseason, so they didn't really get to practice together, and they're still trying to gel. Three transfers, three incoming freshmen. Five of those are really playing right now, already meaningful minutes, on top of, you know, Danny Barsh, who is on the all-conference team. What helps the Lady Grizz is the conference is down this year, I think, across the board.
Right.
Now, as I say that, NAU's already had a couple of big wins against some bigger schools. The Cats are going to be good again, but the Lady Grizz will be in the top 1-3, in my mind, in the Big Sky Conference.
Big Sky, okay.
It's just a matter of getting through this non-conference and working, you know, gelling together.
Well, you mentioned non-conference. There's always a controversy about whether you should have weaker teams so you can, you know, build up your ego to some extent, like the men just played, played Hawaii Hilo team, right? Or do you take on tough teams that kick your ass, and then you feel like, you know, maybe you're inadequate, and maybe the right answer is a mixture of both, you know, one or two.
It's a mixture,
yeah.
I'm gonna steal from actually Jeff Choate, who used to be the Cats head coach, he's down at. Is it Nevada, Utah State? It's one of the Mountain West schools. Now I'm blanking. But he had a great quote that he was kind of upset with his athletic department because they're playing all these schools up from them.
Right.
He said, well, for football, this is a little different, I know. Three non-conference games of football. He said, this is what we need to do. We need to have one power four school that right. you can go get a payday that Georgia, you know, pays you to come get your ass kicked pretty much right. and just get that money. Then you need a team that's kind of on our level. So for the Mountain West, it'd be a, you know, another Mountain West team or an right. AAC team or something like that. And then you play an FCS team. So you get a balance. You right. you get the money, you play a team to see where you're at, and then you beat up on a team to kind of warm up for the rest
MSU
of the conference.
That's what MSU did this year. They opened against New Mexico State,
yep.
I think.
New Mexico, yep.
Yeah, New Mexico, yep. and beat them.
Cats won, yeah.
Right, and then they played a school I never heard of and beat them.
right.
And then they beat everybody yep. else, uh-huh. right?
Yeah. Let's do a quick ID. Our guest is Ace Sarawine. He is the host of The Daily Drive on KGRZ and the voice of Lady Grizz.
Let's focus on women's basketball for a while. What impact did Caitlin Clark have on college basketball and interest in it and all of that?
I think it's all basketball. It's not just the college realm. It truly is the WNBA.
And right.
The number sure. one example, I think, with the WNBA right now is that so the finals this year, they need to do something about the schedule because the finals games are Sunday against the NFL. They're right. on a Tuesday night against the World Series. A lot of people wanted to watch the WNBA finals this year, but they're not going to give up the NFL on a Sunday.
No.
And I love women's basketball and I follow it, but I'm not going to either. The NFL is king
right.
for everyone. And so
yeah, the whole social
but it
life
was the perfect storm of problems because you had the Yanks, Dodgers,
it
right?
was. Yep.
And then you had the WNBA.
Well, but
I toggled.
Well, this time of the year, you have yes, even more than that.
It's the greatest time of
because
year
because you have college basketball gearing up and starting.
Yep.
You have hockey, for those of the big hockey fans. Mm-hmm. You have NBA.
Yeah.
You had the end of the World Series, which, you know, didn't
it's amazing.
Go, yeah, and then you have college and pro football.
You have
football.
All four leagues. Yeah. You have I all mean, four leagues plus the NCAA.
I remember one day, this in the past couple of weeks, there were six major sports games that I cared about on it.
They had it was the sports equinox. It was probably a month ago at this point where all four big leagues had a game going on. But
yeah.
To get back to Caitlin Clark, though, like she influenced the WNBA so much that now they're going to have to change their final schedule. Before, they were fine with the WNBA going up against the NFL because you
right.
weren't going to get those fans. Now, I think your average sports fan would absolutely throw on a WNBA, and especially if Caitlin Clark and the Fever are good, they're going to watch that more than probably
right.
random college basketball games.
And then they're
going to
realize
the NFL.
There are other good teams like Angels team, and you know some mm-hmm. of the other ones that are very good.
Oh, by the way, the Caitlin Clark effect, but New York Liberty winning, a New York team finally winning,
right.
that it's just the perfect storm for the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And
you know,
for
they had a Vegas team, a New York team, Caitlin Clark's team
exactly.
is getting...
Your point, though, is well taken with respect to it's all basketball. It doesn't matter gender at that point.
Right.
It's just a renew. You're bringing more women fans
right.
to the sport.
It was very interesting.
And men to women's sports.
One yeah. of our good friends and ongoing guests here is Eric Stern. His father is the late NBA commissioner, David Stern. And he led the charge at the NBA to start the women's NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the owners were in opposition to it.
Reluctant.
Interesting.
They were not interested in it. They didn't think it could make money. And he said, even if it loses money, we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to do this. And of course, there's no parity yet, or even close. I mean, without endorsements, most of these women are barely making
Vince
six
McMahon.
Figures. Right. But it's moving in the right direction, and it takes a few people like Angel
oh, yeah.
and Caitlin and others because you need stars. That's what the NBA was floundering until Larry Bird and Magic Johnson showed up.
That's right.
Even with all the heroes they had before that, they really need somebody bigger than life
yep.
that they could pump up.
You make a great point. Because like the WNBA is still within the first 30 years or so of
right.
existence. And I think if you go back, watch the very first season of the WNBA to what we're seeing now, and you're seeing Caitlin Clark hit the step back jacks from halfway, you know, at the
right.
half
well,
court
the old
line.
Days they couldn't shoot. I mean, it was you know, foul shooting and getting fouled, and you know, they were shooting 20%, 25%. Wasn't that interesting?
Sabrina Ionescu with the Liberty, she
yeah.
hits this crazy step back logo three to win a WNBA. That does not happen 20 years ago,
right.
30 years ago.
No.
And I think if you go back to the Larry Bird days and you go 20, 30 years back from that, I think it's probably comparable, the WNBA and the NBA, the way the growth is going. The women are getting better. Programs are getting better. You're putting more money into it, thus making the women better. The athleticism is better. The training is better. So it's
well,
all on the up and up.
Well,
so.
You bring up one point. You bring up something, and I forget who it was, but a tipping point moment for me where it all started to make a little more sense was when Curry, at the All-Star game was doing the 3-point shooting contest, competing against
Enescu.
Enescu. That to me was just like everyone saw it, but,
right?
But the way it was like you were creating the parity and evening the playing field, I felt like that was a moment.
Well,
too.
I don't think the men musculature and all that kind of stuff is pushed aside when you're doing a shooting competition.
Right.
Shooting doesn't require even you to leap 40 inches off the ground.
Yep.
So I
she
mean,
did it, incredible. Yeah, it was an incredible, totally. Incredible mm-hmm. thing.
Totally. I mean, you couldn't have a men and women's batting, home run competition because there's just different skeletal, issues and muscular issues.
It is always going to be different. Now, I've always argued, too, that just because it's different doesn't mean one is necessarily superior. You can have your personal preference. I mean, you're going to have more physical specimens. I mean, LeBron James is, 40 years old 40s. Almost? And he is doing stuff.
But you can have a woman that can that equally dribble as well as a man.
Yep, for sure. For
handle
sure.
the ball as well as a man. Yep. She can pass behind her back. I mean, Caitlin is that first woman that has the full package.
Yeah. So what else about Caitlin Clark that really helped is that she went to Iowa.
Right.
Iowa loves not only women's basketball, but they love high school girls basketball.
It's a big basketball.
They fill up the high school girls state tournaments every year. So the fact that Caitlin Clark plays in a place that already loves that and they love that sport, that I think it actually threw her into a different stratosphere of popularity because of where she played.
Right, and I'm going to add something a little controversial for the show because occasionally we do.
Sure.
Her being white does not hurt her in a league that's predominantly black.
Yeah. In Iowa, too. I mean, same thing. In Iowa, I mean, Iowa, you got to have 90-95% Caucasian, I'm guessing.
Right.
So the fact that you have somebody that looks similar to you, I think they took to that. And I think even in the NBA, a lot of their audience is probably white. So, when you see Lukas and Jokic's and all these guys, it's a thing of familiarity when you see the
identification.
Same. Yeah, exactly.
Well, sports have those things to grapple with. The NFL, because players wear helmets.
Right.
You can't really tell the racial composition.
Right.
But I watched a game very recently where all 11 players, starting players on both teams, were not white.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for some people, if that was the case all the time, that would have some bearing on. I mean, it's just a reality of how people are and how people think.
Right.
Well, then talk about progress. I mean, quarterback, the position has gone from 32 quarterbacks being white to, I think at one point this year, there was more black starting quarterbacks than
and,
there was white.
And, the movement, it took a long time to get black head coaches who were doing just fine.
Yep.
The ladies, the women's NBA has a problem. They lost 6 of the 12 coaches.
Yeah, I don't know why necessarily, because at least a few of those, I know there were question marks wait a minute, she just led her team to a playoffs. Why did she get fired?
I think it has to do with money.
Probably.
College coaching is more parity, except in the huge schools. I mean, you go to Georgia or Alabama, they're making more than anybody else in the state.
Right.
But at the average school, I mean, Montana pays roughly the women's head basketball coach, similar to the men's head coach. Men's coaches are making 5 times. And they don't pay. The NBA men salary, coaching salary, is 40 times more than the women's salary.
Yeah.
And I think some of them go back to college and make 10 times the money. Some colleges are going to come up to them and say, you're making $250 being a head coach, we'll pay you $1 million.
Yeah.
What's so great to see is when you go watch a WNBA game or you watch a NCAA game, women's sports, you see the men show up for the women.
Yeah.
And that support, and regardless of sport too, football, basketball, baseball, they all show up, which is great because, they are athletes. The playing field really is even. They're athletes, and this is another athlete.
Well, they're athletes, and they're professional athletes.
Right.
And they have similar agents and managers and all that sort of stuff. So it's interesting. Let's go back to Grizz.
Yeah.
So what teams?
We can.
Everybody loves Lady Grizz. Everybody loves, men basketball team. We have a pretty decent team, and we've had one. We've had a lot of 20-win seasons under our current coach. He's a great coach. I'm surprised, frankly, we've kept him as long as we have. And, of course, we have,
Arnie can be controversial, but we can't.
Well, no, I can be. You know, we have a great head coach in Bobby Houck. I mean, you know, he's the winningest coach, you know, and will be the winningest coach. And he's not a kid anymore. He's 60 years old. You look at him, he looks like he's 40, but he's 60 years old. What other Grizz team should we be paying attention to?
Soccer, if you're a soccer fan. And I know it's not for everyone. And I think it took me a while, so I'm doing all the soccer games at home now on ESPN+.
Have we lost a home game?
No, we've had one tie.
Yeah, so we have
playing
a
good... Dorm Blazer, right?
Dorm. So it's South Campus Stadium, kind of just to the north.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Dorm Blazer. What's the biggest game we won so far this year?
I mean, it actually happened on the road when they won the regular season championship for back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Grizzly soccer, for me, it's kind of personal and selfish. Like the head coach, Chris Chudovitsky, awesome guy. He's got some Minnesota ties, so him and I talked about that before. And he's just such a good guy, and he's motivated and driven, and the guy just wants to win and will do anything for it. So just from a personal standpoint, I love Chris Chudovitsky, the head coach of the Grizzly soccer team. But no, this team has been dynamite now for 2 years, and they're setting these crazy records. I mean, last year against Ohio State, they set an attendance record when the Buckeyes were in town, and I forgot the exact number, but I mean,
I don't think most people didn't even know Ohio State was here playing anything.
Probably not. No, I think your average Missoulian, probably not. But no, Grizzly soccer for sure. There, you could argue they've been the best just program at the university for the last 2 years, and since Chris Chudovitsky took over 8 seasons ago, you could still argue they've been the best program across the board. So, soccer.
Well, the good news about them not having that much is they can absorb a loss occasionally without being saying the coach should be fired.
That's true.
You know, Bobby has had to curse that the whole time.
Last year when they lost to Northern Arizona on the road in Flagstaff to kick off the Big Sky, the sky was falling and Bobby was done. They wanted Bobby fired. He was gone by the end of the season. And guess what they did? They went on to win 8 more games in a row and make the national championship.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, there is real passion.
There is.
It's almost worse than which political party you support, you know, in a presidential election. I mean, Bobby loses a game they don't think he should lose. Well, they don't think he should lose any game.
Right.
You know, if we're... I went to college and I went to University of Cincinnati. Mm. We didn't have a winning season.
When you were there.
When I was there. Till last year, and then the quarterback ended up going to the NFL and becoming rookie of the year. Mm. When we had an okay team, it was 5-4 the last year. They never talked about the coach being fired. I mean, it was just the way it is. There are teams now, Michigan 6-6, you know, they lost 3 games this year. You know, they're not Ohio State. We lose one game. And let's get somebody else.
Sky's full.
They're realistic.
So I'll say this, and I think Bobby would probably echo it. Even those fans that say, when we lose and Bobby's got to get fired, you'd rather have that fan base than go to Northern Colorado or Cal Poly the last 2 weeks where 200 people show up for the actual game that aren't related to any of the players because nobody cares about Northern Colorado and Greeley.
That's got to be crazy that we are so spoiled. There are a lot more schools like that.
I've been here 2 years. I've been in Missoula 2 years working for the Grizz. And Grizz in that environment, especially last year's playoff run, it rivals a Lambeau Field where I think the Green Bay Packers, they're my team, but I would argue they're the best fan base in the NFL.
Well, Tony Romo played here and said it was the loudest stadium he ever played in.
Yeah.
And he played in a lot of stadiums.
Yes, he did.
So you were saying?
Grizz equates to what Lambeau Field is.
Yeah.
Lambeau's got 82,000 people they can jam in there.
Right.
We're at, 26,000 and change here, almost 27. And maybe it's not as loud, but the atmosphere is on par. I have never seen such a small school gravitate towards football. And even North Dakota State is probably the closest in terms of size and atmospheres, and they do an awesome job in Fargo. But what goes on here is unbelievably special. I truly think you take any college team across the country, Grizz game day is probably a top 20 atmosphere in the entire country.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you have, you know, your Rocky Tops at Tennessee and Georgia and those
Georgia
big
Bulldogs fans are ludicrous.
Even you look at the big stadiums like USC, they play in the Coliseum. I don't think that game day atmosphere is better than WAG Grizz and what goes on here because the town shuts down for Grizz football. USC, there's a billion things going on in L.A. on any given Saturday.
That
atmosphere does not equate to what goes on here.
No, the whole town is all Grizz.
Have you ever seen a University of Washington game, sailgating over at Lake? That's incredible.
I bet.
Well, 4 years ago, you know this, we went there and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams, Oregon State, they don't want to play us anymore.
Nope. Well, and the other thing, too, is that Montana doesn't necessarily need to go play, because those are bye games.
Right.
Where Weber State, Idaho, they need the money. Montana gets 26,000 fans in. They make money on football games.
Right.
So it's not like they necessarily need to go play Washington, USC, whatever it may be, whatever the Power Four school is.
So,
talk NIL for a second.
Yeah. It's a tough issue. Let me put it in perspective so you can run all over it. College football coaches making $5, $6 million. We get 26,000 people, even in Missoula. University makes money. Historically, college football players get free tuition and room and board, which most students, that's $20,000, $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
A lot of them get jobs, part-time jobs if they need extra income, but it doesn't equate to what everybody else is making off of them. I understand that argument. Flip side is NIL gets created, and different markets have different ability to raise money.
Yep.
And for example, at Texas, Longhorns.
Yep.
Both their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback make seven figures.
Mm-hmm.
Shador Sanders makes $2.7 million a year as a quarterback.
Right.
We could never compete with that.
Nope.
So there are a couple of issues I'd like you to talk about. One is the lack of parity in all of this. And when you get a star, we're lucky Junior Bergen stayed here. Somebody that could have grabbed Junior Bergen, offer him $400,000 or whatever the going rate is for running back, and he could have left. The parity issue, and then the long-term implication. Does this mean that somewhere down the road in your lifetime, we're going to have like the European Soccer League, where there's a Premier League where they can pay all the big money, and then there's a second league and a third league where the salaries or the resources are different?
There should be.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board with that. Now, I'll answer the first question about parity. The parity has never been there in college sports. And just because now that it's legal for you to make money off your own name, image, and likeness, which you should be able to. Listen, I get it's great to hand a kid tuition. That is an awesome gift. But to say you can't make money on your own name, but you can make the school millions, I think that was corrupt and just beyond stupid for 30 years. If the kid wants to go out and make his own money doing a spot with whatever car, dealership in town, why should the college say no? And guess what? If Arch Manning can go get paid $1 million, if you were 19 years old at the time and you had a market where you could get paid $19 million, we are all going to say, yep, 100%. And if they want to give me the 19, whatever the business is, fine. Like, that's their prerogative. But parity, there's never been parity. And that at any point. I mean, all the illegal under the table.
Well,
there's
the old stories, and you've heard these. University of Oklahoma is a good example. They used to line up, all the alumni would line up on the sideline after the game, and the players would run through like this, and they would grab $100 bills from them.
I think of the Pony Excess with SMU. I mean, when Dickerson and Smith were there, they're all of a sudden driving, Firebirds, whatever the car was, whatever it was. You're like, how did that kid just
good
afford
reference.
That? And nobody, and they're just like, I just came up with the money. We got the gift. And everybody's like, we know what's going on. Like, we always knew what was going on. And I would say, let's go back to 1995.
Right.
You're talking like Montana's never going to compete with a Texas. They weren't going to there either. I mean,
no.
Just because of the programs and the names that each school has, and Montana's the best of the FCS. But if a kid is picking between Texas and Montana,
they ain't ever coming here.
10 times out of 10, whether it was 2024, 1995, or before, I think they're always going to pick Texas. So, second part. What were the second part question?
Well, the tier, the
relegation.
We have a semi-tier. We have FCS and all of that sort of stuff.
Should, and it is going that way. And it should, because the way I look at it, the Power Four is branching off, and they should. They don't need the NCAA, where the FCS and the rest of the conferences, they do. And it should be a super league that can afford to pay and play like a professional league. Like, whether you like it or not, college sports really hasn't been amateurism for a while now.
No.
So why not just break away the top schools, the Michigans, Ohio States, Texas, USC, break them away, because they're not college sports at this point.
Right. And I feel bad for the other BS schools that are like Akron Western Michigan. Right. They're never going to be. Even though they expand the playoff system this year, which I think is a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Yep.
They're never going to be a top 12, 15, 20. They're going to play a year, and that's it. Maybe they get some bowl you've never heard, you know, the aluminum bowl.
Right, exactly. The playoffs should be that the top four conferences, they should pretty much do their own thing. Now, I would still like, the group of six, the other conferences, still to have a representative play in the, air quotes, big boy playoffs. But that next tier should have their own playoff bracket.
Right, because what happens this year if Army goes undefeated?
They're going to, if they make the college football playoff, they'll get waxed in the first round by Texas.
And they won't.
Be done.
They won't be a top. They're ranked 18th and they're undefeated now.
But so there's still a group of five team right now that makes that playoff.
Right.
So, and I think Army probably is the top choice right now because Navy just lost. So I got to think Army would be the favorite.
Right.
But regardless, I mean, the Mountain West, the MAC, they should make their own next playoff, so it should be the college football playoff, then the group of six playoff, then the FCS, D2, D3, and so on.
Yeah. Hey, let's switch gears for a second.
Yeah.
Ace, is there a sport that you love that you haven't called or done play-by-play?
Wrestling?
So, well, I was going to say it's not really a sport. You get me a headset with Jim Ross and WWE and AEW now. That would be the dream. But again, that's not necessarily a sport. There's sports aspects.
Yeah, but it's the same aspect. It's the same thing, though. It's performance.
No, because the rest.
How about MMA?
You know what's funny? So as much as I love WWE or AEW, I watched it growing up, I can't stand MMA because I think it's legitimate violence that freaks me out, and I feel people's like brains falling out of their skull.
Oh, yeah.
Where WWE, yes, it can get physical and you get like chair shots, but it's all staged. MMA, there's no staging to it.
Right,
you are beating the living hell out of people.
You can do anything to anybody.
We've had MMA people on this show.
Yeah, we have.
We've had actually trainers,
right.
Fighters.
Women.
It's one of the safest sports because of the safety, the gear,
yeah,
or whatever, the controlled violence,
hitting my face with their feet.
Chad,
I don't like that.
Well, you know, you need to meet is Chad Dundas.
Yeah, Chad is in.
He writes an MMA column, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he wrote a book about professional
power to
wrestling.
If
he's a wrestling
you like
fan
it,
too.
Yeah. I love that. Usually, the crossover is you like both. Like you like the staged aspect and be like, yeah, we love this pageantry of staged wrestling, but we also just love the violence. Me, I don't know. But here's the, so like I get
the
it
violence.
Probably is safer, and I get that. I just don't like the physical. Like they slow it down, and some guy's jaw is glued like this when he gets punched. Yeah,
it's very boring to watch live too. By the way, because most fights
MMA go by.
It's over in 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
See, I would never do the Vegas where you're paying, thousands of bucks to get in one of those things.
Yeah.
I would never, ever pay. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Was
went
it worth
to UFC. It?
It
was a gift. Somebody brought us.
See, but like, okay, would you ever pay for something like that?
I don't like to pay for pay-per-view.
Are you going to watch?
For MMA.
Are you going to watch
crack
pay
streams
to see Jake Paul and Mike Tyson?
I do stream East, but yeah.
No.
That's even worse.
You feel like a sucker after you've paid so much for something that is just a blob.
There's no
way. My game is to figure out how to get it for free.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, that's true. What about auto racing? Would you like to cover, like Indy 500 or anything like that?
I would. If that's my way to break into a Fox, ESPN, CBS, ABC, I would pretty much call anything they would need.
Right.
Not really on my bucket list, though.
Yeah,
not a huge auto racing guy.
Good. It's boring.
What do you do? Listen, Ace, I don't know you that well. What do you do when you're not doing work and not watching sports besides sleeping?
Yeah. What's funny is at this point, it is just sleeping.
Yeah.
I travel a lot, even. So
see family.
The aspect of the Lady Grizz job I love is that we travel to some cool places. We're going to West Palm Beach in a month.
And, wow.
I know.
That'll be good.
That's for work.
Right.
And I'll still be working in my hotel room, but it's also going to be looking out on a beach. And when I'm done, I go hang out on the beach. So I love that aspect.
Feet in the sand.
Yeah. Traveling. I mean, I do love traveling even when it's not work, but you'll catch me hiking wherever around here. Now, that being said, I'm not an outdoors enthusiast necessarily.
Right.
My dream day would go, hey, let's go on a long hike, get back so I can sleep in my own bed. I don't really want to camp. I'm not a huge camper. It's not
me
very
either.
Comfortable out there.
Foodie?
Yeah.
So when you travel, you can go grab some good food.
Yes, and I try and if we're in Portland or Seattle, I'll try and do some seafood or, something that you can't really get here or that's not as good in Missoula. I will say, so I used to live in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I love Missoula with a passion, but the one thing I miss is that large city, both like stuff going on.
Yeah.
You have sports and concerts going on every single night, and even Minneapolis, which is not that big of a city compared to
No, but they have a good entertainment culturally, though. Culture.
Yeah, and the food choices. Like Minneapolis, surprisingly, like a really good Indian food scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I miss that.
Like, yeah.
And I'm not, do we have Indian food in Missoula?
One or two restaurants.
Oh, the one downtown. Yeah, I've had that
Dabawala
one.
Dabawala or whatever. Yeah, no, one of those places. Well, real quickly, but all right. So food, which is Arnie and I talk about food all the time because we're both from back east.
Is there, you cover all these sports. Is there a sports figure that you really want to meet that you haven't met?
Athlete.
Athlete.
Ooh. Oh, you guys are going to love this. I mean, for me, it's Aaron Rodgers.
You can meet him.
My king.
Just go to the weird zone.
Yep.
Well, I understand that.
So Packers fan growing up. He took over when I was in seventh grade as quarterback. He was the one who I watched growing up. So, and here's the other, so why I like Aaron Rodgers is that when Tom Brady gets on and does an interview, he gives you the run-of-the-mill, blah, blah, blah.
No, Rodgers is great.
Aaron will say whatever the hell he is thinking.
Right.
And I know it pisses people off, and it's pissed me off before. I'm like, all right, that was stupid. Didn't like that you said that. But I like that aspect of him.
Yeah.
And he does stuff that Peyton and Tom don't say because
I appreciate athletes in their prime and even after their prime. I don't like watching a guy who's going down. You know, I mean, used to like him because he could move. He can't move anymore.
This year is brutal for me.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's watching the guy that I grew up watching as my favorite sports athlete of all time.
Right.
And his arm is still there. His legs are gone. And you can just see he's 40 years old. You can see he's old.
It's like when I used to watch Muhammad Ali in his prime. Nobody ever hit him. Later in his career, when he's getting hit
awful.
In the face, you hated it.
Against Larry Holmes. Arnie, is there an athlete, a living athlete, that you would like to meet?
Ooh.
Let's turn the tables.
A living athlete.
Living athlete. I mean, I know you're going to give me Mickey Mantle. And
No.
I don't want that.
No.
No?
Wow.
No.
Not Aaron Judge?
No.
Arnie's a diehard Yankees fan.
Oh, yeah. Are you?
No. I don't know. Well, I can watch it.
All right, let's expand the parameters.
I've met a lot of professional athletes in my life, and the same adage that goes for politicians goes for athletes, not totally.
Never meet your heroes.
No. Well, it's sort of like that. The closer you get, the smaller they are.
That's true.
I played golf with Johnny Bench, for example, who was the greatest. You know, I'm not saying he was a bad guy, but I wouldn't want to hang out with Pete Rose, for example.
No way.
You know,
now you can't.
I'd rather keep them the way the way you see them. I can't stand when they boo. Like watching, you probably can't stand Jets fans booing Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's not trying to lose.
No.
He's not trying to be a bad guy.
I don't know. They pay for your ticket.
Well, that's true, but you know, it's a tough thing if they're your hero. If you get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, if you get to know them, it's a different kind of thing.
I've also gone on the same record of, you know, like people waiting for athletes to leave a game for autographs, and that's like grown adults. That stuff weirds me out. Because at the end of the day, I know, like, we pedestalize all these guys, and Aaron Rodgers can throw football on, like, probably 99.9% of this earth. But at the end of the day, he is just another human being.
Right.
Like, as weird as he is and as rich as he is.
Dating Shailene Woodley at a time.
I met every president in the United States except for...
Bush.
No, I met Bush.
Oh, Trump?
I've met every president. I've never... Yeah, except for Trump. I've met every president since
through work? Or how are you meeting all the... Oh, okay.
From Jimmy Carter through... I met every one of the presidents.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were like the guy that's waiting outside the White House waiting for autographs. I'm like, offend Arnie over here?
I've been in meetings with them. I've had conversations with them.
Wow.
I've shown them around places. I even showed Dan Quayle around Chicago when he was vice president.
Do you know who Dan Quayle is?
No.
Yeah, he was vice president of the United States under
favorite wrestler
of all time?
Of all time.
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. Best character in professional wrestling.
So our guy that we just talked about, the writer.
Right. Chad Dundas.
Wrote a fictionalized life story of The Undertaker as a book.
Oh, that's right. He wrote guy's in Missoula. We have to have him on your show.
Yeah. He wrote he was contracted by
I'll introduce you.
Of one of the what is it? Cartoon.
He did work for I think it was they called it animated comics or like real some type of WWE comic like realistic comic thing?
Yeah.
Biocomic or something?
You know, Pulp Fiction kind of thing.
Right. And he did it on The Undertaker.
And they asked him to create the backstory for The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can get you that book.
Yeah.
We can get it autographed by The Undertaker because we know who The Undertaker's creator is.
All right. Yeah. So wrestling. Right.
Well, you know the creator. What do you mean the creator? Like, are we talking Vince McMahon creator?
No. The creator of this life for the...
I think he created the backstory. Okay.
Where did the guy come from before he became the Undertaker? You know,
parts unknown, of course.
It's like the new movie that, you know...
I've been there before.
That's coming out about how the Wicked Witch of the East became the Wicked Witch.
Sure,
how did the Undertaker become the Undertaker? Yeah. He was commissioned to write that history.
Let's take a quick break. It's Ace Sourwine. He's with the Daily Drive. And all things Learfield back after this. All right, Arnie, we're back with Ace Sourwine.
So how do people hook into all of the stuff that you're doing? Do you have a site that they go to on KGVO or
KGRZ?
Or KGRZ? I mean, how do we find you? And how do we find the shows?
Yeah, KGRZMissoula.com, the KGRZ mobile app, which you got to, in the app store, it's kind of a pain. You got to search Grizz Sports 92, and then the rest will populate. So just go Grizz Sports 92, you'll see our app. But yeah, KGRZ mobile app, KGRZMissoula.com, that's the best way. I mean, you can listen to it on demand, the podcast, because every show we go live 5 to 6 Monday through Friday on KGRZ, but they're always... available on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
How do they call in if somebody has something they want to say when you're on the air?
The app is the best way. I mean, the app is send us a message. We are always looking for contestants too, with trivia and everything. So yeah, the KGRZ.
We're not doing
app.
Call-in just yet.
We're not, but we have.
You know why?
Yeah, the phone is.
It's because it's
wonky.
It's got to be good programming too. The people leave messages on the app, and the good thing is Ace has Riley Corcoran on twice a week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Monday and Thursdays.
Monday. Yep. I predict, and I love Ace because we've worked together now for 2 years, right? 2 years. He's not going to be here forever.
No.
I swear, you'll be look back 5 years from now, he'll be doing something on TV.
It's like I've been very upfront when I was on the Missoula podcast a couple of weeks ago too. They said, you know, act like Learfield and the Grizz are not listening to you right now. Like, what's your dream job? And I said, I'm okay with everybody listening because they should know that. As much as I love the Lady Grizz and being the number two announcer here, that's not the end goal for
me.
I mean, if I had to pick, the dream job is the play-by-play voice of the Wisconsin Badgers, Green Bay Packers. And here's the other thing, though, too. So, for instance, the Tennessee Volunteers, their play-by-play job is opening up next year. I'm not qualified yet, I don't think. You got to at least have some like D1 football experience like Riley Corcoran. But like when I get to that point, let's say the timetable matches up where I'm interviewing for Tennessee, that's a dream job.
Sure.
SEC football is a dream job. Any pro sport is a dream job.
And right.
Even at, you know, I think a high Big 12 team, dream job.
Not a carnival barker going, come ladies and gentlemen, the big one, the only one on the boardwalk. 99 cents for the women, $1.50 for the men. Come on.
Those days are
long gone.
But when I worked at the Garden, I worked with Kenny Albert. Kenny Albert. He's on everything.
Yeah, he's done everything.
Yeah. Everything. One day it'll be NBA, the next day it'll be NFL, the next day it'll be hockey.
Those guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Covering, you turn on boxing, covering boxing, and they know they have the resources to give you interesting information about those sports.
I've been asked before, like, who are your favorite broadcasters?
Right.
It's the guys that do multiple sports at a crazy high level. Kevin Harlan.
Right.
Yeah, Kevin Harlan's
Kevin
great.
Harlan is my number one because he calls football like a madman. He is unbelievable with his vocabulary, but then he goes and does the NBA, and he's equally as good as that. It's right now for active people, Kevin Harlan, Iron Eagle. I would go Iron Eagle. Joe Davis, who just had the epic World Series call with Freddie Freeman's Grand Slam.
Yep.
Sorry, I know you're a Yankees fan.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate good players.
That's on me. Those three for sure, though. And then Jason Benetti, a guy, he's the one, now he gets known because he's got, is it palsy? I think it's cerebral palsy, but like he overcomes that and he is a top tier play-by-play guy. Like those are kind of my current Mount Rushmores.
My favorite always has been Vin Scully, just because he knows when to talk and when he knows when not to talk.
That's the thing that a lot of announcers, well, a lot of not top tier announcers don't get.
No, I even watched the hokey movie For the Love of the Game.
Sure,
with
yeah.
Kevin Costner, you know, pitching the no hitter.
My favorite play by play guy is Gordon Sully. Do you know who that is?
Gordon Sully. I'm a play by play connoisseur.
Wrestling from right. Championship Wrestling from Florida.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, because he would call scientific matches, and he would call it a souple, not a souple.
That's great. I love that.
And on that note, Ace, thank you. You've been a great guest.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you being here.
Yeah. So Arnie, I'll see you next
Sunday.
Listen
to his show.
Listen to his show. See you next Sunday.
See you Sunday.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.